When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la, it's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Well, the day before issuing the immigration executive order, President Biden met with NATO's leader at the White House, saying they've deterred Russian aggression.
And we strengthened NATO's eastern flank, making it clear that we'll defend every single inch of NATO territory.
And the president touted that NATO allies have been spending more on their defense.
Before Russia sent tanks and troops across the border with Ukraine, just six of NATO's 32 members were spending at least 2% of GDP on defense, the target figure for the alliance. Now a record 23 allies are on track to meet that pledge.
Allies are buying more and more equipment from the U.S., so NATO is good for U.S. security, but NATO is also good for U.S. jobs.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg speaking alongside President Biden in the Oval Office. Stoltenberg is meeting with U.S. leaders ahead of the NATO summit next month in Washington. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A lot of marijuana convictions have gone to pot in Maryland.
Nearly 2 years after the state legalized the use of recreational marijuana, Maryland's Governor Wes Moore signs an executive order pardoning more than 175,000 convictions on low-level charges related to cannabis use.
This is about changing how both government and society view those who have been walled off from opportunity because of broken and uneven policies.
Stressing this aims to heal social and economic disparities for communities of color. Estimated to impact about 100,000 people, the majority for misdemeanor offenses like possession. While the pardons won't lead to anyone getting out of jail or remove convictions from records, those pardoned can apply to a state court to have their records expunged. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
We'll get a key report on the economy this hour, measuring our shopping retail sales for May. Ahead of that, on Wall Street, stock futures mixed the morning after the Nasdaq's sixth straight record close. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 7:05 at News Radio Pensacola, 78 degrees. Cloudy skies right now in Pensacola, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling southbound on Highway 29 right around Tate School Road, we've got an accident that happened there. It's onto the side of the road, but it's still causing delays in the southbound lane. Other than that, I-10, I-110 looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. After last week's state budget win, Pensacola's mayor is outlining what's next for the old Baptist Hospital campus. He says the city has hired consultants. They'll be able to determine what of that complex can remain and what will need to be torn down.
What we see in the building might factor in, of course, to what the donation agreement is going to say. In terms of environmental, in terms of indemnifying the city of any issues that we may see, that kind of stuff. So we do have a donation agreement that has been worked on, that's kind of just at a pause as we get our folks in the building and make sure that they take a look.
The city's been approved for $7 million in state funding, along with another $5 million in contributions from the county and Baptist Hospital, with the intention of turning that old hospital campus into affordable housing. Escambia County deputies are looking for a missing teen girl. Nyasia Denyer Beasley was last seen on the 7900 block of Ira Street yesterday. The sheriff's office says she's 5'2", about 100 pounds, black braided hair, brown eyes. The Escambia Sheriff's Office has posted a photo of the girl on their Facebook page. If you have any information on her location, call the sheriff's office. A Broward County lawyer believes a Supreme Court ruling could have some repercussions that go beyond online sports. Florida gaming law attorney Daniel Wallach talked yesterday after the court backed Florida's gambling compact with the Seminole Tribe. Wallach says it'll accelerate Florida's path to online casino gaming as early as next year, or maybe 2026. He tells the News Service of Florida that this would seemingly remove a sizable barrier to iGaming under Seminole Tribe control. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
breezy day today with winds coming in from the east. 40% chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain. High near 90. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. 50% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 78 degrees in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 7:30 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, and dependable.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Last session, 2023, we passed this monumental nation-leading initiative on vouchers. You know, money follows the child. This year, because of some valid arguments and pushback from our traditional government-run public schools, we worked on deregulating a lot of the restrictions that public school systems have said would put them at a competitive disadvantage from these voucher school programs and schools. What that meant is we've eliminated a lot of the categoricals that restricted what portions of the base student allocation could actually go to, and put a lot more of the authority and decision-making ability back into the hands of school boards across the state. All 67 counties have a school board. They're constitutional officers that make those types of decisions. So on top of the at least $500 million every year since 2019, we've put towards teacher pay raises, which has raised our average starting teacher pay from $40,000 to nearly $49,000 every year. We've also increased our base student allocation and removed a lot of the restrictions on that funding so school boards can actually make the decisions that they were elected to do.
This is State Representative Alex Andrade talking during the WSRE Legislative Review and talking about how, you know, yes, in the beginning we put a whole bunch of money into vouchers so parents could take their kids to a different, to a school other than a public school. But if you both allow them to leave and also put artificial restraints on how the schools can use their money to accomplish their educational objectives, you're not just creating an even playing field, you're actually creating an uneven playing field in which the private schools have a better chance to compete effectively. So that's what he's getting at is, you know, a lot of times one of the things, I'm trying to remember who it was who said this, that the legislature will pass these big sweeping package of reforms and then come in the next year and clean up the mess a little bit. And that's a clean up the mess a little bit, is allowing the schools to be a little bit more adaptive. Senator Doug Broxson talking about the push for vocational education.
There is a change in Florida and across the nation. Dr. Rudman talked about his two students going to college. A lot of students will not be going to college. Mm-hmm. It's expensive, and sometimes a result does not give you the quality of workplace experience that you need. We're going to see our 28 colleges take a lead in vocational training. It's going to be a titanic shift in what we see. But what we have to do is go back into the early years of the school system, people that have not been good readers, that have been poor performers, and say to them, hang in there. We'll give you some kind of certificate or something where you can go out and get a good-paying job. Don't go out on the street.
Right.
Don't give up on life.
Right.
If we can do that, we can engage the 28 colleges to recruit those folks, to put them into a plan where they can be a plumber, electrician, or work at ST Engineering, it will change our society. And you're going to see the legislature dig in on that and make sure that everyone, no matter what their grade level, no matter what their grades are, they not, may not be walking up there getting the award at the graduation, but they'll be rewarded in that they'll have something that produces the American dream for their family.
And this is something that we really are in a massive cultural shift in this country, and particularly in this state. Again, recovering the other side of the swing of the pendulum from, for decades, people bought into the notion that the way to real success in this country was to get a college degree and get a good job and then be secure for life and whatever. And through a combination of factors, everything from the fact that you don't work for any company for that long, typically anymore, that you don't get retirement plans through any company like that anymore. And the most notable change to all of this, yeah, there's a couple. One is, you know, with the development of AI, the value of having a college degree is in, let's just say, uncertain position. We don't know, because it looks like AI is going to allow, you know, either the computer on your behalf or the computer assisting somebody who doesn't have a college education to simulate having a college education, just like having some science fiction exoskeleton might allow you to simulate being Jean-Claude Van Damme or some, you know, Conor McGregor. Having some moderately educated person using AI might allow them to simulate having a graduate degree in philosophy. You know, who knows? So then you have pushed all these people into higher education. They graduate, they can't find jobs because there's too many people with their kind of training. And then they've got all this massive college debt that they're trying to pay off, and you've got America today. So now we're having this push in the other direction, which is, you know, you make pretty good money working on air conditioners. You know, you make pretty good money being a plumber. You make pretty good money driving a truck, flying a plane. You know, there's a lot of things you can do that may not seem exotic and sexy according to getting your college degree and attending fraternity and sorority parties. But guess what? It's pretty good for your family. And we are pushing more in that direction because college is not for everyone. It never should have been for everyone. It really is for the folks whose, you know, skill set, brain style, whatever falls into those categories. There's a lot of people that can be incredibly productive citizens doing occupations that you take for granted, that your life depends on, and they can make a good living at. Let's see if we can help them get into that terrain, right? 7:15 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
If you're traveling, John. Yeah, that's okay. You caught me, but we're all good. If you're traveling on Avalon Boulevard right before you get onto I-10 southbound, there's an accident there right where you kind of merge from Avalon into I-10, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this conversation at the legislative review. The next thing that had come up was the question of so-called, I don't like the term book ban. I think it's an inaccurate term, but, you know, book removals from libraries. Although it's my understanding that it is in the school system still a ban, because if it's a book gets removed, you're also not allowed to have it as well. Jeff Weeks asking the question posed by a member of the audience about, well, here.
Constituent basically asking the question, if the Constitution guarantees separation of church and state, why are taxpayer dollars being used to send students to religious schools? So I'll wind those two together and let you guys comment.
And also the book ban question.
Whoever wants to take it.
Alex Andrade.
I don't know. We banned any books in Florida. That's news to me. I think that if you're...
Because you can still go buy them, carry them, read them, go to the library outside of the school, right?
It's been a fun, hot topic to try and address with a lot of folks. First and foremost, if you don't think that there were valid instances and are valid instances of books being available in libraries that are age inappropriate, that contain images that you as a parent do not want your child to have access to without your supervision or involvement, you're kidding yourself. Those books absolutely were in those libraries. And bringing that to the forefront, it has left for, you know, maybe some bad faith partisanship, a little bit of gamesmanship. Governor DeSantis came to Escambia County a month and a half ago and brought up legislation to try and address some of the book challenge gamesmanship that has kind of, you know, railroaded the process of just trying to empower parents to be involved in their child's education as much as possible.
Right. And on the whole issue of parents controlling education.
Now, as far as the separation of church and state, I just believe in, if you're paying taxes into the system as a parent, your choice of where you're sending your child to school should not make the difference between you accessing a base student allocation, an amount that we as the state say we should be committing to your child's education versus not. So I don't see that as a separation of church and state issue. It's just empowering parents to be as involved in their child's education as possible.
Absolutely. And that's why it's been working so well. And again, it's always a question of what do the parents want and what do they, you know, does the school system exist as some imposition upon parents and replacement of parental authority? Or does the school system or the funding towards alternative schools, does that exist as an empowerment to parents so that we can prepare the next generation of civilians to be citizens and also accomplish on their behalf an educational outcome that parents are going to be happy about? That's really the balancing act. That's really the society is going to be happy with as well. Joel Rudman, state representative for District 3.
Pride myself on being a big First Amendment guy. The medical freedom bill I talked about earlier, that was basically a First Amendment bill. I ran another First Amendment bill this last session having to do with entertainers and concerts, et cetera. So I'm a big believer in the First Amendment. But like Representative Andrade, my colleague, said earlier, you're kidding yourself if you think obscenity is covered by the First Amendment. I mean, and of course, to me, the big litmus test is if a parent cannot read that book out loud at a school board meeting, if they get shouted down and censured and said, you can't read that during the meeting, well, then why on earth would you allow a second grader, a third grader to read it in their library at school? To me, that's the litmus test.
And, you know, there's another slice of that, too, which is that over a long period of time, if you have the recognition that you'll have restricted access for your literature to child audiences or youth audiences unless it avoids having certain kinds of lurid content in it, it might be the publishers decide to make better books. You know, just, I mean, it's a possibility. Anyway, so very interesting conversation at the WSRE Legislative Review. I always appreciate them doing that and hearing from our legislators. Speaking of education, you know, Pensacola State College is a relatively new advertiser on the show. And I just, you know, this was easy for me. When I was talking to our sales rep, she's like, you know, can you talk about PSC? I'm like, can I? Let me tell you. We have two kids, one's 20, one's 18, who have taken 3 years of dual enrollment courses as homeschool kids in high school and then dual enrolled in college at PSC, which means that they were taking college classes for college credit and high school credit for free. There's no cost to this. Books are all included. And when they got done with their time at PSC, now they could have gone for associate's degrees or they could have done what both of them do, which is roll that over into credit at the university, which they're both attending. And that gives them basically a year and a half's worth of college credit entering college, which is pretty good, you know, so that you're that far ahead on education. Plus, what, you know, in our case, you have homeschool kids, so they didn't have a lot of classroom experience. I mean, the middle one went to Brown Barge, okay, but the older one had none. And so this gave him a kind of a transitional opportunity to learn in the classroom from a teacher, like colleges, like, you know, university was going to be, from teachers who are teachers first, you know, instead of researchers first, and sometimes teachers also, with a variety of class sections and times that we could work around with our schedule. I mean, just PSC has been fantastic for my family. So I wholeheartedly endorse them. And that's more from the, you know, dual enrollment side. But, you know, I've taught at community college and I love teaching at community college. I love the students you get and the people who are trying to change their lives or do something to improve their lives or just all of it. Pensacola campus, Warrenton, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future educational goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Even though so many corporations are celebrating Gay Pride Month, my Christian faith just won't let me. After all, there are seven places in Scripture where homosexuality is addressed and condemned. And my heart genuinely breaks for individuals who are caught up in that lifestyle. I want to see them washed, sanctified, and justified, as is described in 1 Corinthians 6. I want to see them saved. No one loves the LGBTQ people more than Jesus does. No one is able to help them like he can. But for the Christian to celebrate Gay Pride Month is not love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, explains that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's saying Christians can't celebrate sin. Love doesn't do that. To celebrate any type of sin instead of warn against it is to personally escort individuals straight to hell. So Christian person, let us be loving enough to warn others about sin and invite them to the Savior.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
I don't understand. He say you're not allowed to smash piñatas that look like real people. But we do it in Mexico all the time.
Hope for Pedro. 7:24 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, this is one of those, I don't even exactly know what to do with it, but I found it interesting, so I'm going to share it with you. You know, we have our aircraft carriers are deployed, varied deployed, extended deployments, you know, at sea. One of the reasons why, I mean, China's one reason, you know, what's going on in Israel is another reason, and what's going on in Yemen, you know, dealing with the Houthis is another reason. Well, so one of the just, like I said, I don't quite know what to make of it stories, but I wanted to tell you because I thought it was fascinating, is the Houthis are repeatedly on social media claiming that they have sunk the USS Eisenhower. And why would the people in Yemen on social media know any better? But yeah, apparently they have online accounts and they repeatedly claim to have hit or even sunk the carrier in the Red Sea as its leading U.S. response. And I mean, this is frontline stuff. Like, we're involved in missions, okay? We're dropping bombs and shooting things. I mean, you know, the captain of the ship, Captain Chris Chowda is his call sign. I'm guessing he's from the Northeast. Chris Chowda Hill, he says, I think it's been about two or three times in the past 6 months we've allegedly been sunk, which we have not been. he says, it's almost comical at this point. They're attempting to maybe inspire themselves through misinformation. It doesn't work on us. So they'll put out pictures and videos of, you know, people on the ship eating cookies or sitting in the captain's chair, or, you know, they put up images of them eating cinnamon rolls and muffins in the bakery on board the Eisenhower and, you know, Taco Tuesdays. And, you know, it's like, what, how do you counter that? Like, no, we're right. Like, look, here, out, here, we're here. Y'all are really stupid. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's the most sophisticated information warfare campaign that the Houthis are putting on. 7:26.
The Houthis need a warning label.
Disinformation label. That's
right there.
What's going on with traffic, John?
If you're traveling southbound on Avalon trying to make your way onto I-10, and got a vehicle crash right there at
Avalon.
Looks
like it's just cleared up. We got a text like just as you were talking. Go
Sweet.
Ahead.
All right. Well, that's good. No more accidents to let you know about then. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. Thank you.
Perfect. See, solved. Hey, if it's the first annual Favor House Roundup comes up, this is this Friday, June 21st, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. Should be a good time. Basically a hoedown. Toe-tap and knee-slap and good time is how they're describing it, with country music and food and all kinds of games. You can get your tickets at newsradio923.com. Also, Bands on the Beach. That's tonight. It is a Tuesday, therefore Bands on the Beach. Tonight, we have 1211. That's performing at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion right by the beach ball on Pensacola Beach. 727 here on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Russian President Vladimir Putin is in North Korea for his first visit in a couple of decades. Russian officials say that visit may include the signing of a new partnership agreement. North Korean media has reported the two nations will be working on trade agreements that are, quote, not controlled by the West. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson launching a task force to look into creating a reparations program for Black Chicago residents. Johnson signed an executive order yesterday establishing the city's reparations task force. He's put about $500,000 towards studying that issue. And Andrew, a sweet discovery was made at George Washington's mansion on the Potomac River recently. Dozens of bottles of perfectly preserved cherries and berries that are centuries old.
Wow.
The jars were found during an archaeological dig in the cellar connected to a restoration project. Archaeologists say the fruit was somehow perfectly preserved and still fresh after 250 years. Scientists are now attempting to see if they can use some of the cherry pits to grow new trees.
Okay, you eat it first. You eat it first.
I think I might pass on this one. I do love a good cherry, though.
Right.
Also, there's something in me that makes me wonder, is it a fully truthful account? Washington, cherries, growing the trees. I don't know. There's something about me that makes me skeptical about this whole story just a little bit. 729 on News Radio Pensacola. Oh, this, okay. We sometimes get texts in that are critical of me, and I never mind that. That is always perfectly plausible. But I want to give this is doing radio is sometimes interesting. So we're doing this whole series on the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, the shoot house, the training, all of that. For several days, I've been doing that. And I got a text in from somebody that said earlier, it said, "Do you remember when you could listen to news radio on the way to work and there was actual news?" I thought, all right. And I texted him back. I said, "I'm sorry you're not enjoying the series." "I am." Then I get a text. "Your support of law enforcement is much appreciated." How do you solve for this? Well, you know, you can't make everybody happy, but, you know, if it's out of your norm, it's not what you're familiar with, hey, in a day or two, we'll be making fun of Milton again. that is coming, by the way. Oh, yes, that is definitely coming. So anyway, just so you know, 437-1620. And I really, you know, I really do. I take it as praise, because what it means is somebody likes the show, and when it's not what they're expecting, they're frustrated. And I don't want that to be the case. You know, I want to give you what you want. I want everybody to love it all the time. And I know, can't always make it happen, so sorry for that. 437-1620. Oh, somebody says that what the Eisenhower should do is post pictures of pig roast and bacon. Yeah. Well, but see, all that would do would be to feed the narrative of these evil infidels, right? That'd be like if they're all drinking, same thing, right? So maybe we want to give a second or third pass on that counter-information campaign.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden announces a new immigration policy today.
The executive order is designed to bring peace of mind and stability to Americans with mixed status families, an administration official says. Undocumented immigrants will be able to apply for lawful permanent residence if they are legally married to an American citizen and have lived in the U.S. continuously for at least 10 years.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The New Mexico village of Ruidoso is evacuated because of wildfire. The message: go now, do not attempt to gather belongings or protect your home. Evacuate immediately. Celebrations in Boston.
Banner number 18 has been secured. The Celtics are NBA champions.
Boston Celtics win the NBA Finals, taking game 5 of their best of 7 series with Dallas. 106-88, the call there on ABC. Boston's 18th title breaks a tie with the LA Lakers for the most. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola, 78 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon Dr. Ben Brown has been released from jail now on $50,000 bond. He was arrested yesterday on a manslaughter by culpable negligence charge relating to the death of his wife, Hillary. Investigators say he was performing surgery on her when she went into cardiac arrest last November.
He ran out of lidocaine in one, IV bag, and he ran out of it and then mixed some other stuff in a bowl and then pulled it out with a syringe and then injected her with it. And then she began to seize. And then the real problem was she began to seize, and then the nurses in the room wanted to call 911, and he said, no, we'll handle it. And obviously they did not handle it, and she ended up passing away.
That's Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. He says his deputies aren't trained in medical investigations, so they had to present their evidence to the medical examiner to determine whether criminal charges were warranted. Autopsy results in the case are still pending. Well, this past Saturday was another record-breaking tally at the Pensacola Airport.
Pre-pandemic, going back to 2019, we had 6,700 people screened through the airport. And that's bigger than any holiday day the last 5 years. Any day since 2019, Saturday was our busiest day of all time.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, and he says, despite the all-time number, the average wait time to get through TSA security was under 8 minutes. The longest hour-by-hour wait was 20 minutes. Escambia County's District 3 commissioner is now running unopposed for re-election after the primary challenger was disqualified. Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender says the deadline to qualify was noon last Friday. Republican candidate John Johnson showed up 11 minutes before that deadline and still had paperwork and had to be filled out.
The qualifying check was a cashier's check, which the state handbook states that it has to be a check drawn on the account and that it cannot be a cashier's check.
And Bender said another issue was that the wrong financial disclosure form had been submitted. Bender said Johnson had pre-filed last year, but due to those errors, Commissioner Lumen May is now running unopposed. Well, the Perdido boat ramp officially opens to the public as of today. A ribbon-cutting ceremony is happening at 11 o'clock this morning at 10808 Lillian Highway. The county says it's the first large public access into Perdido Bay. That ramp features a two-lane boat ramp, 62 parking spaces for vehicles with trailers, 22 spaces for vehicles without trailers. Also, they dredged a new channel measuring 2,200 feet long by 40 feet wide with a 5-foot depth. And an 82-year-old woman has died after a crash in Santa Rosa County yesterday. That happened just after noon on Monday on State Road 87 south of the Alabama line. FHP says the woman was pulling out of the parking lot at the Sanhandle Lotto store when she pulled out in front of a semi-truck. She died at the scene of that crash. A Pace veteran celebrating a milestone birthday. He had a party at the Pensacola VA clinic yesterday. Tom Palmer turned 100 years old. At his party, Tom received a card from Wallace Lake K-8 school, also a card signed by the Pace High School football team, and was presented with a very nice gift, a trip for him and his wife to the Allegheny Mountains on the East Coast, courtesy of Convenant Care. 7:35 right now, John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about, but still, if you're traveling on Avalon Boulevard headed south to I-10, you're still going to see some delays. The traffic is backed up pretty well way back there. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens on Traffic on the Fives.
Thank you very much. John, now our Channel 3 weather.
Breezy day today with winds coming in from the east. 40% chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain. High near 90. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. 50% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And right now, we've got cloudy skies. It's 77 in Pensacola, 76. In Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Trade Commission has sued Adobe, alleging the software company violated consumer protection laws by making it too difficult for consumers to cancel their subscriptions. In addition, Adobe pushed users towards annual subscriptions without adequately disclosing that canceling in the first year could cost hundreds of dollars. An Adobe spokesperson has not publicly responded. The FDA has approved Merck's vaccine designed to protect adults from a bacteria that can cause pneumonia. An advisory panel to the CDC will meet on June 27th to discuss who should be eligible for the shot, called Capvaxiv. Some of the analysts view the jab as a key growth driver for Merck as it prepares to offset losses from its blockbuster cancer drug, Keytruda. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 188, the NASDAQ up 168. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you in. Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months, or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516, or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months, or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500 to $41,793, or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Party down with a big bang. Shelton Fireworks has been in business for over 40 years. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks, the largest finale cakes, and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's has got it. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonfireworks.com, home of the big ones.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
News Radio Pensacola has just received another major award thanks to you, our listeners. This time, it's the prestigious 2024 Crystal Award from the National Association of Broadcasters, where representatives of the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10 radio stations in America, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the Crystal Award for our exceptional year-round commitment to community service. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me now, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff, newly reelected. Escambia County Sheriff, elected without opposition. Well done, sir. Congratulations. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of say thank you to the citizens of Escambia County, because to me it's much more of a testament to the hard work of the men and women of the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. We had a vision when I was first elected 4 years ago, and you know, this engagement and enforcement like we've never seen before, and our guys have really bought into it, and they're really pushing us forward with our core values and the levels that we really want it to be. And I appreciate the opportunity to continue to serve for 4.5 more years and not have to put signs out in the summer heat. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
When was the last time we had an uncontested sheriff's elections in Escambia County?
There's never been one. This is the first one. We've had local historians kind of go through go through newspapers and see who's
run. And it's usually a pretty acrimonious thing. I mean, it's usually pretty unpleasant, you know?
Especially in today's day and age where anyone can decide, hey, I want to do this for whatever reason, whether they really want to be the sheriff, whether they want to make a name for themselves in any race, not just the sheriff's race, but any race. But it's – and, again, that's again, the honor you know, that I have, and I certainly appreciate it, especially having been raised in Escambia County and a little bit of a history buff myself. I'm not unfamiliar with the situation I find myself in, and I really appreciate the support that I've had throughout my career, whether it's being police chief –
I was going to say,
being the sheriff of Escambia County.
Well, and people forget you were the assistant county administrator in Escambia County, and you oversaw the jail and some other things. You know, they got a little bit of administrative experience beyond being the chief police.
Yeah, so I'm old. We get it.
we don't need to have this conversation. You're older than I am, but not by much. Yeah.
enough.
So my one question is, when you were a long-haired hippie undercover narcotics investigator back in the day for PPD. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think you'd be the uncontested, unanimous, by acclamation, reelected sheriff of Escambia County?
Never in a million years. but seriously, would I have thought about even being the police chief? I was just worried about the next drug bust back then.
Right.
And worried about supporting my family and my two young boys. And then as you continue to move up in your career, you're like, you know what? Maybe that's an option.
Mm-hmm. Take one more step.
A lot of it's good fortune, you know, and then there's preparation. You know, I do understand the value of preparation and getting the education and getting the experience in different levels and being prepared when those opportunities come around.
And last question on this topic, I promise, but here we go.
Okay.
I know a lot of people have this question. Okay. Do you plan to stay as sheriff for 8-12 years? Do you plan for higher office, some different level of responsibility? What's your plan if you have one at this point?
Well, I'm the one that says that I don't think there's a higher office than a sheriff of Escambia County.
Gotcha.
I think that as long as I can serve, as long as we can continue to make the positive impact that we're making and go in the direction that we're going, you know, I look to continue as the sheriff, or hopefully, you know, the people will have me. Mm-hmm. But again, as we just talked about, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't know what opportunities may present you. So I love my job, and I hope to keep it for many, many years. We're going to work hard at it. No one's going to work harder, and we'll let things, you know, come as they come.
Gotcha. Haven't been a lot of cases in the news. I appreciate that. That's a good week, but you did take down a couple of drug houses, right?
Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about this enforcement that we keep talking about, and I think that our narcotics unit is just killing it. They're doing such a great job. We did a little quick video on some stuff that we seized last week, and then we got two more taking down Teakwood Circle, 50th Avenue, and Fairfield, and then two more last week. So they're doing a great job. You know, I keep saying kicking doors. I guess that's old school because that's what we used to do. You got me back to my narcotics days.
We
were counting door
Plus,
kicks.
Plus, I learned from my exposure to the shoot house that kicking in a door is liable to just put you thigh deep into a door that you're stuck in. So
we know you're an expert, Andrew.
Oh, come
we
on
know.
Now. Be fair. You know that's not true.
I walked in here and he asked, where's my certificate? It's coming, mister.
Not forthcoming. Not yet. Anyway, so you guys took down a couple of houses and kicking doors.
And again, every single one of these has some impact, some greater impact than others, we understand, but we continue to try. And you know, our guys are just doing exactly what we expect them to do. While I'm at home sleeping or watching cartoons or something, they're out there, you know, kicking doors and doing what's right for Escambia County.
Sheriff watches cartoons. That's the big takeaway here. Excellent. we have been doing a lot with this training. Actually, before we get to that, let's get quick traffic on the fires from John. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on Highway 90 southbound on Avalon, you're going to see some major backups southbound, backed up to about Hope Church. So that's about a quarter of a mile there. So pack your patience with that one. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, I'm getting a ton of texts in here congratulating you on your reelection. So,
well, you're not going to read them. Is that what you're telling me? No, thank you very much.
I want your head to fit out the door when you're leaving. Not because I want you to leave, but I just want to be safe for you, you know?
I know why people call in.
Yeah, right. As you know, I had asked to see the new facility, went out to look at it, have spent a lot of time on the air talking about it, putting up videos on Facebook and promoting it. But this shoot house that you have, I mean, you've had the you know, the training facility, the range for a long time. It's been there for years.
Right.
But the new facility is amazing. But this was all just an idea you had years ago, right?
Well, when I got elected, I started looking around at how we can continue to get better. I'm one of those ones that I'm an optimist, and I believe that Escambia County deserves the best, and I think they deserve the best sheriff's office. And I think if you work at the sheriff's office, you deserve the best. So how can we make this better and that better and everything excellent? And that's what we strive for. And so I thought, you know what, the range is already
getting. That's a coach's mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Football coach, you know,
it's a thing where if you strive for perfection, eventually you'll land on excellence and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's that drive that makes you better, that repetitive drive. Anyways, so you got me on coaching, and now you got me all talking
you're
about
doing
football
good, all right.
season and that sort of thing. So I started thinking, I have a whiteboard. I'm a big whiteboard fan in my office. I'm like, well, hey, if we're going to do this, we need a new range tower. Let's make it like this, and let's have a shoot house in the back of it, because shoot houses, for anyone that's listening that don't know, that haven't been paying attention to your series, is another opportunity to train while you're at the range, not with live rounds, but with simulation-type rounds. And I wanted it where we can not just train, but we can also critique. So I wanted a catwalk in it. So I started drawing it on the whiteboard, and I called my training experts over, and they said, why can't we do this? You know, I guess you can, but it's kind of hard. I said, let's shoot for the moon
Dream
and see
it
what
first.
We can get.
Yeah.
And so they did a fantastic job. Our training people were there with me the whole time. Please don't ask them exactly what they think about my back and forth with them on pushing them farther and farther and better and better. And our facilities manager, Marcus Faulkner, they have done a fantastic job of getting this shoot house to this second to none, in my opinion. But also, you know, we went and looked at some shoot houses and mm-hmm. wanted one step better because, again, I think that we deserve that.
Yeah, and I think when I was doing video with you, I asked you the question of, you know, how many other facilities like this? Where's the next closest in Florida? And your answer was there isn't. I mean, this is as good as it gets. This is, you know, state of the art, best in class, and, you know.
Well, you've been there.
Yeah.
You see what it is.
Absolutely.
Basically, we can create walls and create rooms and create scenarios, whether it's NES Pensacola, whether mm-hmm. it's a school, and we can train that way. But also, we can not just follow behind our troops, but also, again, with the catwalks and the video availability, we can critique every step that they take so that we can get better and better.
You can do the training so that when they come into a situation that's novel to them, they will have the thought process, the muscle memory, the psychological conditioning, the breathing, all of it in place so that they make good decisions and protect lives and save lives, including their own. I mean, it's
including their own.
And you know, one of the things that I haven't gotten into this a whole lot, but one of the things that was amazing to me is I feel like I know more than the average person about, like, law enforcement stuff, okay,
right.
Just from years of talking with you, okay, and so I get in there, and even after having gone through one simulation, and we're going through the debrief, which we're going to cover more tomorrow at 6:35, but going through the debrief, and, you know, for example, one thing that Sergeant Hendershot brought up was, he's like, okay, so you shot this guy, and he's down. Is he disarmed? I don't know. You know, is he unconscious? I don't know. I didn't check. And he's like, well, either way, is he now a patient? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, if he's not dead, he's now safe. Even if he's safe, don't you have an obligation to save his life? I'm like, oh, man. So what do you do? Well, and, you know, what if you're in a school, and what if there are kids and all of this kind of stuff? Like, those are complications to a complicated scenario that you never think about until you go through this kind of an event, and your instructors, who are world class, point it out, and then you have to think through those things, right?
Well, yeah, and we go by what we see, not just locally, but nationally. We look mm-hmm. at other videos, and we say, okay, what could they have done better? And it's not really just to broadcast that to everyone, but to say, hey, why don't we incorporate that into our training?
Right.
There are many times that I'll see something, and I'll say, hey, put this out to our troops today. So we'll put that out, and so that very, like, within an hour or two, the very next shift that comes on, they're seeing that video. They're discussing this scenario that took place. And certainly if we have one that we have the video of, then we put that into our training scenarios as well. So, yeah, that allows us to continue to evolve and to get better and better, because, like you said, we'll watch a video and say, oh, you know, you could have started CPR just a little quicker, mm-hmm. you know. And I understand that some of those things aren't, you know, it's in a perfect scenario, and they're never perfect scenarios, as
right.
you know. That's why we continue to have these types of training in this type of a shootout. So, yeah, there's a lot more to it than just there's not more to winning the day than just shooting.
Right.
You know, there's a lot more. You have to survive, obviously, and you have to save lives, and you have to do what you can to.
And, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, I remember having a conversation with a cop a couple of years ago, making the comment that we're going to have a bad day. You know, we're going to do something wrong. It's going to be news. It's going to be bad. But I want you to know if, you know, when that day happens, okay, I want you to know, first of all, that we have a relationship where you can trust me in the information I'm giving you.
Right.
Good. But also, I want you to know how hard we work to make that not happen so that you have a context against which to judge our mistakes, you know. And to me, this is all a part of putting your officers and your deputies and the citizens in the best possible position so that if or when a bad event comes, people know how much you have been preparing to try to prevent that from happening and to make sure that outcomes are always good.
That's the message for the community, but it's also the message internally for our employees. We talked a lot last week about recruiting, and we're doing very well with recruiting, over 500 applicants last year.
You have more than you can take, right?
Yeah, we have to cull them quite a bit. We have high standards, so not everyone does.
Good problem to have. Yeah,
gets it. But it's also the reason we are doing well in recruiting is because my belief is that when people know they come to the sheriff's office, they're going to get top-notch training. Mm-hmm. They're going to get these opportunities to go and work different places. And that's really important to all of us. Should be important to our county.
Amen. So anyway, it was eye-opening to me, and not just fun, but it was very instructive to me. And that's what I'm trying to share with people so that they understand.
And I appreciate what you've been doing. I will put a little plug in for Angie McKay. If you haven't watched this series, I'm assuming you can go back and
it's on Facebook. We've got them all posted on Facebook.
And get a good look, an insider's look, I should say, at the training, but also the what I call the beautiful facility that
it is.
The Board of County Commissioners has purchased the property, and they have it. They're the owner of the property. We run the range, and that's mm-hmm. why we put our money into that to make sure that we continue to do, you know, what the community wants us to
and
do.
And funds for the county funded the tower observatory, but you funded the building itself out of what, drug
local
seizure money?
Sales tax.
Or, oh, local option sales tax. Yep. Okay.
The local option sales tax that, I don't know when it expires, but a portion of that goes to law enforcement. We purchase our cruiser cars and computers and stuff with that. And I also allocated some of that money for the shoot house as well.
And there's like 30 agencies that also train at that facility and use it all the time. So
I think practically every agency.
Yeah. So it's not just for the sheriff's offices.
We schedule it.
Right. Sure.
And we have first priority, us and county corrections.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, you have a couple things coming up, or at least one thing coming up. You've got a raffle on a boat that is the proceeds are going to go to benefit the foundation. Is that right?
Sheriff Foundation, right. As you know, the Sheriff Foundation serves to support the men and women of the sheriff's office in their engagement efforts. And you can support the Sheriff Foundation, and you can also win a boat, Legendary Marine. They're giving away a boat at their June 29th open house event. Raffle ticket proceeds will go to the Sheriff Foundation and the Gulf Coast Kids House.
Nice.
Which they do a great job as well. Tickets are $50, and you can visit the Sheriff Foundation social media for more information. So, yeah, that benefits the Sheriff's Foundation and the Gulf Coast Kids House.
And one last thing, because we're talking about this, you know, I view your role as sheriff as being heavily shaped by your background in football and coaching and all of that, and that's the way you think about it. But when you leave the firearms training facility, the last thing you see before you get out on the road is a sign in a sheriff's office colors that just says, "Be the hero." And I think for some people, they look at that and they think, I look at them like, that's exactly what I want them to think. I want your deputies every time to get those little reminders. It's like going down the tunnel to the field, you know, and you put a little inspirational phrase up there. That kind of culture, to me, speaks to excellence and mission and enthusiasm about it.
We continue to push courtesy, integrity, and professionalism at the sheriff's office. Looks like we did when I was a police chief.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to push that because the truth of the matter is, and this Be the Hero kind of brings that to forefront, is that there are men and women out there every day, every night, just being brave. And they're doing it the right way, and they're doing it for the right reason. So I couldn't be more proud of them. I certainly couldn't be more proud to be the sheriff here in Escambia County.
Well, again, congratulations on the first in history unopposed reelection to a second term. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for what you do for the community and keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Take care.
7:55 here on News Radio 92.3, and we got John with Traffic on the Fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling southbound on Highway 90 going into Pensacola, through that construction zone, we're going to still see some delays that are there. Other than that, I-10, I-110 looking really good. I'm John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
This. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2770. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner, and your system will be much more energy efficient, too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at GulfCoastAirCare.com.
Hit it, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Thinking about a side hustle? Why not turn your hobby into a home-based business with a home embroidery machine from Daryl's of Pensacola? Daryl's Sewing has many embroidery machines to choose from, and they have single-needle or multi-needle machines, plus plenty of thread and supplies. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Excellent!
Good morning, 7:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew. Hey, it's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A Texas man that threatened to kill Representative Maxine Waters last year has now been sentenced to 33 months in federal prison. Brian Garrity was sentenced yesterday and also fined $10,000. And Andrew, a Secret Service agent, was the victim of an armed robbery in California over the weekend. It happened while President Biden was campaigning in L.A. Police say that some of the agent's items were later recovered. No suspects have been identified.
And he apparently shot his weapon is part of what I read about this, but they hadn't found any. It's a bad story all around.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf.